Our scripture lesson for the sermon today comes from Hebrews chapter 13. I'll be reading the first seven verses, Hebrews 13, 1 through 7. Hear now the living and active and very sharp word of the Lord. Let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are evil treated, since you yourselves are also in the body. Marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Make sure your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we may confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Thus far the reading of God's word, and all of God's people said,
Amen.
Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. For you are our rock, Jesus is our Redeemer, and we are your servants. We pray in his matchless name, and amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Well, here we go, a second sermon on contentment, and these have got to end. You might be saying, ugh, oh no, make it stop. Make it stop. Another one on contentment, as if we still need to deal with contentment. I don't know about you, but I do. I still need to deal with contentment. And I'm not going to tell you, well, I'm going to tell you by not telling you. There's one more in this. I wrote three and I'm going, oh, so make it stop. This has got to end. Today's second sermon on contentment, and by the way, I did not receive a single email about CTK saying, you really need to preach on contentment out there. I didn't hear that at all. There may be a little bit of a surprise with today's sermon. You might find something surprising. But I want to give you a reminder. What do I mean by contentment? What did we do last time? It was this. I'm just going to give you three snippets of two words each. Contentment is a settled satisfaction, a ready reception, and a peaceable confidence. That's what I'm working with. If you ever want to do a scratch and sniff on contentment, you're going to find somebody that's got a settled satisfaction, a ready reception, and a peaceable confidence. We all tend to recognize when we don't have contentment. Last time I talked about contentment with difficulties. We can usually see our lack of contentment when things are difficult. All of you, not all of you, many of you, firing up this church, waiting, wondering, you face some difficulties. Some of you might have had a hard time being content. I don't know. I didn't receive an email. We see our lack of contentment when we're facing that which we call miserable. It's easy to see. Things we'd rather not face. And by the way, I've come to find that if I don't recognize my own lack of contentment, the Holy Spirit usually presses it upon me, or some kind soul comes along and says, psst, we need to talk. Thank you very much. Paul, we saw last time, needed to learn contentment. He was dealing with difficulties. He was in prison. Difficult situation. Outside of prison, there were preachers who were preaching according to their own ways. Paul couldn't do anything about it. There were also agitators outside of the church, bothering the church, Paul was in prison. But that's not all. There were troublemakers in the congregation, and Paul was in prison. He couldn't do anything about it. That's why Paul said in Philippians 4, I have learned to be content. So we're all rather well aware of our discontent, our crankiness, and our belly aching. Even the kids, you know it. Something doesn't go your way and you go off. We can see our discontent when we're dealing with that which we'd rather not face. But here's the surprise for today. We might be quite surprised that our lack of contentment can be just as present and vibrant, maybe even more clearly seen, a clear and present danger, when we're surrounded by good things, blessings. If last time was contentment during burdens, today is contentment amidst the blessings. You might not be thinking about this, but you're going to in just a few moments. Example, King David was greatly blessed, and he wanted more. David had plenty of wives, and he wanted more. David had plenty of troops, and he wanted more. From Hebron to Jerusalem, you find these words about David. David realized that the Lord had established him as king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people. Meanwhile, David took more concubines and wives from Jerusalem. He's greatly blessed, and I want more. Now, young boys, are there any little boys in here? Okay, I'd like you boys to raise your hand. You're not a boy? Okay. We've got some issues here. Okay, I see that. There's a good job. All right. I was once a little boy.
No.
Yes. Nice interaction. Way to go. Get that guy a special room. When I was a little boy, I found out that my father couldn't stand honey. Just didn't like honey. And I go, that's odd, because as a little boy, you're kind of sticking your finger in and gunky. And what's this streak on the wall? It's a honey finger. My dad didn't like honey, and I didn't get it. And he finally explained it once. He said, I got sick on honey when I was a little boy. As I grew, I started reading the Bible. Proverbs 25:16. Have you found honey? Eat only what you need, that you not have it in excess and vomit it. My father was a Proverbs 25:16 guy. When he was a little guy, he ate too much honey and he shouted groceries. He chundered. He threw up. I'm sorry. Let's close in prayer. And you guys, you're texting Matt right now. Never invite him back. So I see what's going on. Joe, we'll talk later. That same Proverbs 25 says this: it is not good to eat much honey, nor is it glory to search out one's own glory. You know, you can be greatly blessed. You can have honey. I love honey. You can have too much of it. More, more, more. What does Jim Gaffigan say about bacon? The only problem with it is you want more bacon. Anyway, we find our discontent present with good blessings, and our passage today shows this. Hebrews 13. This passage is loaded with good things, as well as a reminder to be content in the middle of these good things. What are the good things that are going to be mentioned? Here you go. One another's. You're blessed with one another. Verse 2, hospitality. Verse 3, there are others in the body of Christ who are also in the fleshly body. Verse 4, marriage. That's a good thing. Verse 5, that which we have received, money or wealth or possession or the Lord's presence. Verse 6, God's provision. He is our helper. Verse 7, God's provision. He gives other servants. And you know, in the midst of all of this, and you can just pick any one of those, you can say, that's a great blessing. And then when you get into that blessing, you find how discontent you are. Verse by verse. Verse 1. Let the love of the brethren continue. Stop hampering it. You're surrounded by one another's. Have love for one another. And the first thing you find when you're dealing with one another's is they bother you. Or you are bothered by them. Therefore, we need to hear, let the love of the brethren continue. Let the love of the one another's continue. Let it keep going. It's a great blessing. Have you ever met someone who has no one another's? You want that? No, I'd rather have some one another's around me. That's a blessing. Keep loving. Verse 2, hospitality. Do not neglect to show hospitality. You have something to share? Share. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels or messengers without even knowing it. You have something to share? That's a blessing. Sometimes we go, I don't want to do that. I am discontent with the blessings I've received. I'm not going to share them. Verse 3. Remember others. The body is larger than just this. Mr. Leary, thank you for your prayers today, remembering the larger body of Christ. But I want you to know something else. There are members of the body of Christ in prison right now. Some in this room know some who are in prison right now. The body of Christ is there. A matter of fact, the Apostle Paul was in prison. You say, well, I don't want to deal with these stinky, nasty people that are in prison. That's not all. Others who are in the body have received ill treatment. The Greek word actually says been treated with evil. Evil has come upon them, and sometimes you're going to go, you know, I don't know that I want to be around them. Well, the writer says, you too are in the body. You're in the flesh as well. You don't know what's going to happen when you walk out of here. Some kind of evil or ill treatment is going to land upon you. You're blessed right now. I'm not in prison. I don't have evil treatment upon me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to forget about those who are in prison. These are blessings. We have a hard time being content. You know what we do? I don't know about you, but I'll do this. And by the way, every time that I do prison ministry here in the state of Texas, 105, 110 degrees, no air conditioning. I get to lead the service there. I get to preach. Yeah, my green clerical gets all white streaky, and you're going, ew, that's gross. I know that. No air conditioning. But some of our brothers in the Lord are there in the flesh, and they're desperately lonely. Every time that I walk in and then walk out, I think, I'm greatly blessed. The prison door opened in, and it opens out. I got to go in, and I got to get out. Whew. Am I supposed to just go, forget about it? I've recently gone through Dietrich Bonhoeffer's book, Life Together, again. Life Together, once again. I've gone through it again. I talk bad. Listen. The believer feels no shame, as though he were still living too much in the flesh. when he longs or yearns for the physical presence of other Christians. Man was created a body. The Son of God appeared on earth in a body. And he was raised in the body. In the sacrament, the believer receives the Lord Christ in the body. And the resurrection of the dead will bring about the perfected fellowship of God's spiritual, physical creatures. The believer, therefore, lauds the Creator, the Redeemer, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for the bodily presence of one another. The prisoner, the sick person, the Christian in exile sees in the companionship of a fellow Christian the physical sign of the gracious presence of the triune God. How easily do we forget the gift of one anotherhood, of the brothers, of the one another's, easily, because we are discontent. It's not enough. Matter of fact, I'm going to go back to that in just a moment because it's pretty convicting. Verse 4, marriage. The man who is married has received favor from the Lord and good. I've met young men that really want to get married. Then they get married a few years into it. They're going, oh yeah, whatever. Blessed with good stuff, and then all of a sudden your discontent rises up and you're cranky about it. So therefore marriage is mentioned. Marriage, hold it in honor among all. And that includes people who are not married. Among all. The marriage bed is to be unsoiled, undefiled. Why? Because God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Marriage is a great blessing. Many of us are married, we're surrounded by marriage, and we bellyache about it because we are discontent. Verse 5, that which we have received, money, wealth. It's not your own hand, it's the gift of the Lord. The Lord provides whatever you've received. Verse 5, make sure that your character is free from the love of money. You don't have to be wealthy or poor to love money. Wealthy people love money. Poor people love money. Make sure that your character is not marked by, I gotta have more, gotta have more, gotta have more. Being content with what you have. What have you received? Are you going to be like King David? I want more, I want more, I want more. I want more troops. All right, Joab's saying, you know what? Lord has blessed you greatly. The Lord will give even more. Why are you wanting to count the troops? Go count them. I want to know. I want to see. The Lord himself has said, I will never desert you. I will never forsake you. He has given his own presence to us as a possession. Last verses 6 and 7. The Lord God is our helper. We may confidently say, the Lord is our helper. I will not be afraid. What will somebody else do to me? And then perhaps an area that's a little bit pokey, verse 7, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you. All of a sudden we're getting into church leadership. God gives the gift of fallible pastors and elders and deacons. And you know what the first, one of the things we do? Like poke, poke, poke. They're not good enough. You're right. We got to practice. Somebody comes in and goes, Pastor Neil, I got an issue with you. Yeah, I go, well, you know, I've got an issue with that. Your list isn't long enough. But we have this tendency to go, oh, if only we had this. Well, God blesses you with this. Then what are you going to do? Is your discontent, because wherever you are, there you are. Your discontent with blessings is going to show up. It is all too easy to poke at others in the body of Christ. And I love John MacArthur, but man, he's way off with this. Or I am of Lightheart, or I am of Wilson. Poke, poke. Thank God. We can be discontented even with the Lord's great gifts. His provision, His presence, right in this context, we are called to contentment. By the way, it's all over the place in the Bible. Godliness is a means of great gain. 1 Timothy 6, when accompanied by contentment. Wait a minute, it's possible to pursue godliness without contentment? Yeah. Somebody goes, yeah, I'm very godly. Well, you're a miserable crank. Godliness can be soured through our grousing, our grumping, and our lack of contentment. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and end this. Are you ready? I'm going to stop preaching and I'm going to start meddling right now. We can be skilled in grumbling about the good, with the good, or even in the good. We can be surrounded by the good and we can grump. But you know what we tend to do? We will disguise our grumbling by the way we talk about the good stuff. We will say things like, I am so blessed. And then get ready, it's coming out. But the Lord is so kind, but if only He would. We discard our reception of God's good gifts with these words. Not enough, yeah, but, or if only. I will give you some examples. Here we go. And I'm not going to look at anybody right now. Yeah, my kids are doing pretty well. But if only, there are those two words, if only, they wouldn't have to be told to do their homework or clean their rooms. I am so thankful for my children. Somebody comes to you, you know what, your children are such a blessing, and then you go, I'm so thankful for them. Yeah, but if you knew how tired I am or how hard I have to work and how miserable they make things. You've wanted the blessing of children. They show up and you're going, yeah, but. Yeah, my daughter's doing pretty well at school. However, that's really not enough. Or here's one. I'm thankful for my spouse, but if only he or she would fill in the blank. Is it any wonder that in the middle of this passage, marriage is mentioned and something about the marriage bed where people tend to go, there's a real problem there. This shows how deep our discontent goes. We are blessed and our selfishness wants more. King David was given much and he wanted more. All of a sudden, we begin to realize we're not as contented as we think we are. So we've got, okay, I'm all right. Don't nobody worry about me. You got to give me a fight. Why don't you just let me be? Just get out of here. I'm kind of tired of this business. So what do we do? One antidote. And I'm still failing in this and still growing in this. One antidote to our grumbling, grousing discontent is this. Gratitude. You may go, that's too simple. I'm going to go, and so is your griping. We're all very good at griping. You don't have to look far, look long. It's in the air. I can smell that. Pooh. And that's really easy. You know what else is easy? A little bit of gratitude. And we wage war against our grousing. When is the last time you simply said, thank you? Children, you're thinking in this kind of a church, everything's way up here. No, actually, it's right here. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. Steering committee, thank you for all your work in putting this together and finding a new location for next week. Thank you. Thank you for the communion bread. Thank you for the towels. Thank you for filling up the water. Thank you. It is no wonder that Hebrews chapter 13 includes these words. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that gives thanks to his name. You want to know something weird in the Bible? Nowhere in the Bible does it say give thanks to somebody else. Nowhere. We're always to give thanks to the Lord. You drip that out, though, and it results in thankfulness to others because the Lord put you two together. The Lord gave you these children. Yeah. That's right. Even that one. I'm watching you over there. You think I haven't noticed. I've been noticing that. Oh. So when's the last time we acted thankfully? I'm going to take us back to Bonhoeffer one more time, and I'm going to walk among you. Ready? It's so simple. And we still fail. How can God entrust great things to one who will not from him thankfully receive the little things? If we do not give thanks daily for the Christian fellowship in which we have been placed, even where there is no great experience, no discoverable riches, but much weakness, small faith, and difficulty. If on the contrary, we only keep complaining to God that everything is so paltry and petty, so far from what we expected in marriage, in planting a church, in the one another's, in our possessions, with hospitality. I added all that. It's so far from what we have expected, then we hinder God from letting our fellowship grow according to the measure and the riches which are there for us all in Christ Jesus. End of quote. Chad Bird, in his book Upside Down Kingdom, warns us, the church, about the desire for Saint Big Box Christianity. Saint Big Box. Fascinating. What that reveals is our lack of contentment with the gifts that the Lord has given us now. And we can, thank you, Lord, yeah, but. Thank you, Lord, but if only. Thank you, Lord, but. Thank you, Lord, for this community of believers, except for that one over there. She really bothers me. It has been suggested that among the first sins in the Garden of Eden was a lack of gratitude. You may eat from all of the trees except one. Where was gratitude? I want that one. It's a lack of gratitude. Whereas the last Adam shows up and all that comes out is gratitude. And we're getting ready to do it in a moment at the Eucharist table, the table of gratitude. So when you're going to fail with receiving the gifts, responding to the gifts, we need to look to Christ. We need to look to Christ. John 11, I thank you, Father, that you always hear me. When he feeds the 5,000, thank you. When he feeds the 4,000, thank you. The night of his betrayal, he took bread and gave thanks. He took the wine, gave thanks. So that every little thing that we receive, a sip of wine, thank you. That's right. Thank the Lord. That's right, Fred. So anyway, why don't we do that? I think that's the best way to end this right now. Thank you again for your patience. I know I was kind of scattered today, but maybe you can be content with bad stuff as well as good stuff. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give you thanks through Jesus Christ, and we ask you to grow us in gratitude. Teach us once again that we bear his name, not our own. And may we do so to the honor of your name. Continue to feed us even as we come before you and as we sup with you. Through Jesus we pray, and all of God's children said,
Amen. Amen.